Some of you have not met Brother Danny yet, and so let me just say that he is the pastor of the Milldale Baptist Church in Zachary, Louisiana. Milldale Baptist Church has had a huge impact upon our country and upon missions in many places around the world. As a matter of fact, I believe it's Ron Owens who has just written a book called The Milldale Story a few years ago now. That's been published and I guess is still available for those who would like to purchase that from Milldale Baptist Church. And if you'd like to know more about it, not every church gets a book written about it. And there's a reason why. And God has used the ministry there to impact many people's lives through the retreats and conferences and the ministry of the church in many different ways. And Brother Danny and his wife Nancy have been a big part of that and been involved in that ministry for many years, and has been senior pastor now for 7 years. And so we're very thankful and privileged, I believe, to have them here and to be a part of our services here at Eastern Gate during these revivals. And I appreciate Brother Danny's heart and burden for spiritual awakening for our country and for our churches. And I'm praying that God will use him to communicate that message and that burden to our hearts this week as well. I hope, as I said this morning, you'll take a few moments to get to know Brother Danny and Nancy, and that you will speak to them and visit with them for a few moments. You'll be blessed by that, and they're not scary. You know, some people have the idea of preachers as, you know, that you got to, you know, kind of scary. But, you know, Brother Danny's not. He's like me, you know. He's not going to intimidate anybody. So, and you get to know him, and he'll love you and pray for you, and he'll remember your face if he doesn't remember your name. And he'll pray for you. And that's what we need. Brother Danny, come and share with us God's message.
Well, it's good to see you here this evening. I don't know about you, but I was blessed in the services this morning. If we could have just had some good preaching to go along with it, it would have been a good time together. I enjoy the music here. I know the Lord is not in this, but I would like to just pack all of you folks up and move you down to Milldale. And let Brother Greg join our music director. They're a lot alike. I'm going to tell you, they're a lot. The only difference is our music director has a tenor voice. He can't get down there low like you. Brother, you've got a wide range. But I have so enjoyed the music. Brother Jeff could be the senior pastor. And I would just be his assistant. And I mean that. I tell you, I know the Lord's not in that. You need this church here in this community. But sometimes I like to do just some wishful thinking. Is that unspiritual? But I have really enjoyed this morning the music, just seeing some of you folks for the second time, and just to see that you love the Lord. I was privileged to be in a Bible conference in Acada, California, 2 years ago. I almost canceled that meeting because when I was in the fourth and fifth grade, my dad pastored a church in Los Angeles, California. And I've been out there since to conventions when I was in the business world. And I'll tell you, I didn't have any desire to go back. Can anything good come out of California? Don't answer that. You'll get in trouble. But Acada is up in the northern part of California, right near the Oregon border. And I want to tell you, people are different up there. They told me, Brother Danny, just above San Francisco, about 100 miles, there's a demilitarized zone. There's a line, an invisible line, that goes across California. We are the conservative end of California. But we met people up there that loved God and were rejoicing in the Lord, that were not stoic, that were seeking revival just like we do in the South. And I just thank the Lord that God has His people and His churches all around the world that we don't know about. I think about Elijah sometimes, when Elijah thought he was the only one left. And the Lord had to whisper in his ear, Elijah, Don't get the big head. I have 500 prophets that have not bent their knee to Baal. And there's God's people scattered all over the world. Thank God for that. Amen. This evening, I was going to go a different direction, but this afternoon the Lord laid something else on my heart. And I'm going to preach a devotional message tonight. Now, when I say that at home, people begin to laugh because they know that I'm not really a devotional preacher. It's going to be from the Word of God. Well, thankfully, it's going to be from the Word of God. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel, and we'll start in chapter 21, and we'll read some in chapter 22. I became a part of Milldale in 1965. In 1963, Milldale was having a conference. My parents were there attending the very first conference there at Milldale. And I was staying with my grandparents, which I love to do. My grandmother and grandfather were two of the great people in my life. They loved me, and I loved them. Out of 11 grandchildren, I was the favorite. At least they made me think that I was the favorite. I was the oldest of 11 grandchildren. And in those days, our family, families there in that close-knit family were close. We had a lot of good times together. But I like to work and earn money. I've been an entrepreneur ever since I've been in about the fourth grade. I'm a survivor. You can put me out anywhere and I'll generate some way to make money, honestly. And I was working that summer, had acquired a job. Really, I'd made a job. I was washing down windows of houses and washing vehicles and doing everything I could do to earn some money. And I got a phone call one afternoon in August from my dad, and he said, "Listen, I want you to get on the next bus and come to Baton Rouge, and I will pick you up. But, Dad, I want you to get on the next bus and I'll meet you in Baton Rouge." And when my dad spoke, everyone listened. And if we didn't listen we were reared back in those days. We talk about raising children. We were reared back in those days. And, I love my dad for his discipline. It taught me not to be spoiled. He taught me to have an humble spirit. He taught me to love people and do what was right. When no one was looking, he taught me to do what was right. And I appreciate my dad. He's in heaven rejoicing in the Lord tonight. And someday I'm going to join him again. But anyway, I went over there. And there I met Nancy. She was just a youngster in those days. I won't tell you how old she was because I don't want to influence any of the young people in this church tonight. But I told my sister, I said, I saw Nancy. I didn't even know her. She was coming out of the church. And I spoke prophetically, Brother Jeff, without even knowing that I was doing so. And I told my sister, Darlene, I said, "I'm going to marry that girl someday." And the Lord saw that that came true. And I went back in 1965 and lived with Brother Jimmy Robertson and Francis. I think about that. They were 29 and 28 years of age. And they invited a teenage boy into their home. They had three small children. And I became part of that family because my folks were moving down into the lower interior of Mexico. And I could not finish high school if I would move with them. So I stayed there for my last 2 years of high school. And I thank the Lord for the way He moves us around through His providence. And I've been a part of Milldale since 1965. This year, we celebrate our 50th year. Labor Day conference, this Labor Day weekend, we will celebrate 50 years of ministry there at Milldale. Someone asked me how it had been when we were writing the book. And I said, I would like to look back and say that it was all glory And it was all smooth sailing, but I remember it, and Nancy remembers it, as hard work much of the time. I mean, we just had to do due diligence, get in and do anything that needed to be done when we had the printing ministry. The whole church was involved. And it was hard work, I'll tell you. But the Lord used it and blessed it. And when we get to heaven, I pray that our thumbprint will be on a lot of souls that have been saved around the world. I'm not bragging this evening. I'm saying that I'm thankful to be a part of Milldale Baptist Church. Not too long ago, I was sitting on the platform waiting to preach one Sunday morning. And I had to pinch myself. It was like I was dreaming, Brother Jeff. How that the Lord brought me up as just a lad from Texas, barefooted boy out in the hills and piney woods of East Texas, and brought me to a place like Milldale and made me the senior pastor. I just can't fathom that. Maybe one day I will be able to literally realize the position that the Lord has put me in. I don't take it lightly. Amen. That's enough. That's extra. We'll take up an extra offering for that. I just want you to know a little bit about us. We are just common people that God has saved and changed and put His love within us and caused us to love others. Let's get to the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'll begin reading in verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now let me give you just a little background here of these verses. You know that David is a young man. God has saw fit for him to be anointed as king. Incidentally, I love David. He is one of my favorite Bible characters. The reason I love David, God chose to write about him, warts and all. I would not want a book written about me, warts and all. When you read the book about Milldale, you're going to read mostly about good things, if you read it. When we read Scripture, God is so honest that He puts even our failures, even in the case of David, his sin. And I thank God that He gives us examples of men and women of God that once lived in sin and degradation and were lustful in their thoughts, but God changed them and made men and women of God out of them. Amen? Where would any of us be tonight if it were not for the grace of God? Amen. Saul hates David. He desires to kill David. And David is running from Saul. And Saul is putting such a tax on the people that they can hardly afford to live in Israel. I mean, these are bad times in Israel. Sounds like America. We don't know what we're going to have to go through in days ahead. So we need to take Scripture in mind. So David is running from Saul. I would like to think that the men of God never become afraid. But that's just not true. The Scripture said David feared Saul and he ran from them. And the servant of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands." The word mad in the Hebrew, if you don't know, means that he made himself like a crazy man. He just acted crazy. Of course, none of us have never done that. And he changed his behavior. And he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And Achish, the king, then Achish said unto his servant, "Lo, ye see the man is mad." He's crazy. "Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a crazy man? And ye that have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence, shall this fellow come into my house?" And David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. It has been said by some medical magazine, I read this a few years ago, that by the year 2020, depression will be the major cause of death in America. Stress and depression. You say, "Brother Danny, Christians should not be depressed." I have a dear friend, Brother Malcolm Ellis. Has Brother Malcolm ever been here? Brother Malcolm Ellis is a wonderful preacher of the gospel. One of the most brilliant young men that I know preaching the word of God. He has written a book, a little small pamphlet book on spiritual depression. It so blessed me. I've not gotten over it. But God's people do fear, and God's people become depressed. I didn't get many amens on that, but it is true. I want you to hold your finger here, and let's go to the New Testament. It's just us here tonight. We're going to do a little Bible study. You do remember the Apostle Paul, don't you? That great man of faith, great man of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read some verses to you. Start in verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our," what is the word? "Trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." I want you to know that word despair is a very deep word. It has a lot of meaning to it. When a person comes to the place of despair, it's like they're at the end of their hope. They have lost hope. Paul said, "We have lost hope of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." The people of God, through the providence of God, are placed in desperate, dire situations. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God is so sovereign that Dr. J.P. Macbeth, many years ago, a great Greek scholar, said this. What does sovereignty mean? It means that God can do anything he wants to do and do it right well. That's a good definition of sovereignty, Brother Jeff. I've heard many definitions, but that's a good one. God can do anything with you and I that he wants to do, and he will do a good job of what he's doing. Amen? I love to preach on ministry because I believe the Lord has called every saint of God, every Christian is a minister. That doesn't mean you've been called to preach. That doesn't necessarily mean that. But it does mean that you can minister to people and you can minister the gospel. Amen? I want all of you to say amen, because that's why God saved us. To put us in the ministry. He didn't save us just to warm a church pew. To enjoy the good Christian music and leave this place and live 6 days of the week like we want to. No, He has placed us in the ministry for us to minister to other folks. In order for us to minister, God has to take us through some things. I said to you this morning, one of my dearest friends called me after my son passed away and said, Danny, down the road, God will make a better preacher out of you because of this. I could not accept that at the time. But God took Nancy and I through such deep waters during that time. And then a year later, my mentor, the one that I called when I had need, the one that called me every day, my dad, passed away. So we went through some deep waters during that time. David was going through deep waters. David did not have an easy life, especially at the beginning of his days. I'm sure that David, well, I'm not sure. I know that he complained to the Lord. David, you just read the Psalms. I love the Psalms. I do most of my reading in the Word of God in the Psalms. I really do, because they're such an encouragement to me. Did you know that the saints of God through the years, through the centuries, have complained to God? Now don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm not telling you something that is not true. Jeremiah, when God called him and told him to go and preach, about the middle of his ministry, when he was being so suppressed and so persecuted for preaching the Word of God, he said to God, basically these words, and I'm paraphrasing, Lord, you have deceived me. I said to God, at the death of our son, for many days, Brother Jeff, I could not even pray. My heart was so heavy. There was a knot in my chest, Brother Greg, that I didn't get rid of for about a month. It was like I was having a heart attack. It was like my heart had just swelled and was about to burst out of my body. I cannot describe to you the feelings and the emotions that we went through. And I was walking early one morning, as I do a lot to pray. I walk and pray on our place the Lord has given us. And I said to God, Lord, I love you. I have given my life to serve you. I have not been perfect, but I have been faithful to you because you have been faithful to me. And now, what have I done to deserve this? David complained to the Lord. You just read the Psalms. Here he didn't know what to do. He was confused. He was fearing for his life. He was fearing Saul and the king of Gath. And he goes to a cave. The cave Adullam. You ever thought, any of you ever been in a cave? I don't like caves. Nancy and I went to Lookout Mountain in Georgia one time, and we went into the cave there, and we got way down, hundreds of yards down in that cave, and I got to thinking, what if these lights go out? What if there's an earthquake? And you know, like on some of the old cowboy movies, the mine shaft closes up and you're trapped in there for the rest of your days. I don't like caves. You can visit them all you want to. Caves are dark. Caves are damp. Caves are depressing. I like light. David went and crawled up in the cave on his face, in despair, depressed. Well, how depressed was he? There are three psalms that were written while David, or after he had the experience of the cave. There are three psalms. I'm going to give them to you tonight, and we're going to look just briefly at some passages in those psalms. First of all, Psalms 157. I'm sorry, Psalms 142. Now, if you have a King James Version of the Bible, and it says the same thing that mine does, it introduces this psalm at the heading. Do you see that? Do you have that? What does it say in your Bible? A prayer of David when he was in the cave. It's referring to the cave of Adullam. Now look at what he says. This is when David is on his face. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord I did make my supplication. I poured out my complaint. My complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble like God didn't know. We've all done that. When my spirit, said David, was overwhelmed within me. Look at verse 4. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. No man loved me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now that wasn't true, but that's the way he felt. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. He was praying this by faith. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. But you see the despair and the depression of David in this psalm? Now turn with me to Psalm 57. In Psalms 142, David is on his face. In Psalms 57, David has made it to his knees. And he's crying out for mercy. Now look at the heading of this psalm. What does it say? When he fled from Saul in the cave of Adullam. David's now turning his depression and his despair to the Lord. Look at verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake psalter and harp. I myself will awake early. He's on his knees. He's beginning to turn his thoughts to the Lord, and he begins to exalt the Lord. Now turn to my favorite psalm, Psalm 34. This is all happening at the time when David is in such despair and fleeing. What does it say at the beginning of this psalm? When David changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. The same type of experience David is experiencing here. Now David is on his feet. Last time I was here, I brought a message from the first part of this psalm. I want you to look at verse 15 of Psalms 34. David is beginning to rejoice in the Lord. The very first verse, first of all, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's turning his eyes to the Lord. Look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. What a promise. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of some of their troubles. Do you all believe that? Do we believe that as Christians tonight? The Lord will deliver us out of all of our troubles. Are you going through trouble tonight? I don't know why the Lord had me preach this. I haven't preached this message like this in many, many years. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe that no matter what we're going through, the Lord has an end to it, and He will deliver us out of all of our troubles. Brother Sonny Holland, an evangelist out of our church, has been a part of Milldale since 1965. Brother Sonny, preaching on the storms of life, says this: we're either going into a storm, or we're in a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. That's exciting. That'll lift your spirits. But you know, I like for the Lord to be honest with me, and He is, to tell us that life down here is not what we think it's going to be. Listen, when I got saved, I thought there would be smooth sailing from then on out. When the Lord called me to preach, I thought I would be one of the greatest preachers in America. I would take Billy Graham's place. Everybody would love me, and I would be popular. But I soon found out as a young preacher that there were a lot of people that didn't like me, and they didn't like my message. I remember Nancy and I were over the youth of our church. We had about 40 youth, and we had a youth choir. And on Sunday evenings, we would travel around to the churches. We would set it up, and the youth choir would sing, and I would preach. And I remember we went to this Baptist church, and I had only been preaching about a year. And there was one of those Baptist deacons. I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that. I got to preaching, and I was waxing strong. At least I thought I was. And I saw that deacon do this. I'm telling you the truth. That's what he did. Sitting right out in the middle. He kept looking at his watch. And it just took the spirit out of me. It just jerked the spirit off of me, Brother Jeff. And I really became angry. And finally, I think I got to the point where I said, I know what time it is. But you know, the ministry is a tough place to be many times. But I wouldn't want to do anything else. I love ministering to people. But I'm going to tell you, it gets difficult at times. How difficult does it get? Well, let me read verse 19 before I move forward. Verse 18, let's not skip that one. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. But look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And I put out in the side of my Bible many years ago when I was studying this message, when I was studying these passages, I put, remember the cave. I make myself notes in my Bible. Remember the cave. Now I'm not through yet. Turn back to 1 Samuel. That's just the introduction to my message tonight. But it'll only take me a few minutes to continue this message and finish it. I said earlier that God has called us into ministry. Look at what God did for David. David, therefore, verse 1 of chapter 22, David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. He's in a low place. Look at what the Lord did for him. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now, when Nancy and I were going through such a desperate, broken time, I really didn't want to be around people. Now, that's bad for a preacher. I did not want to be around people. I felt like I could never preach again. But do you know that the Lord just kept us in ministry during that time? I remember I was out of the pulpit for two Sundays. Brother Jimmy preached one Sunday and Brother Sonny Holland preached the next Sunday. And finally that third Sunday I said, "Brother Jimmy, will you preach for me this coming Sunday?" He said, "Nope." Said, "No, I will not." He said, "It's time for you to get back in the pulpit." And Nancy will tell you, I would wrestle all week. And come Saturday was my lowest times for about a year. And I just felt like, Brother Jeff, I could not minister to people. My heart was so broken. But come Sunday morning, the Lord would put a message on my heart. And sometimes I would stand weeping. I'll be honest with you. I wept a lot in those days. I think some of our church members got concerned about me. But you know, the Lord used me in those days. And I'm not bragging about myself because I never see this. But the Lord used Nancy and I in those days to minister to others. God brought David through this. Because there were those that needed to be ministered to. Do any of you here think outside the box? We have a granddaughter that I describe as this. She's 21 years old. She colors outside the line. Y'all don't know what that means. She thinks her own thoughts. She's an individualist. And I like that about her. The Lord is beginning to move in her heart. And she's been coming to Nancy and I and asking questions about the Bible. I'm her favorite preacher. And just 6 months ago, she didn't like preaching. I mean, she felt like Christianity was just a show of the flesh. She felt like it was just a put on. All Christians were hypocrites. But what she's finding out now, life has some desperate times and you need someone to help you through those times. Do you want to minister? Well, the Lord will give you opportunity to minister. When David was at his lowest, running from Saul, the Lord sent to him his family. Not only did he send his family, let's look at that next verse. This is a description of my church. And everyone that was in distress, are you getting the picture? Here David is at his lowest ebb, and the Lord sends him to some people to minister to. His family, which are the hardest people to minister to most of the time, and those that were in distress, and every one that was in debt. I mean, I'm reading this right, aren't I? And everyone that was discontented. Boy, that sounds like a lot of Baptist churches. They gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were about 400 men. Now you know they brought their families with them. So there was a great host of people. And what David could not see when he was in the cave, that God was preparing him to be the captain, to train and raise up one of the greatest armies, I believe, that's ever been on the face of the earth, because God was behind them. A nomadic force, a nomadic army that skirted around Israel and protected Israel, because Saul had defied God and sinned against God, and God had taken his hand off of him. But God used David to protect Israel. But look at the people he had to work with. Brother Jeff, our churches don't look so bad, do they? I say that in jest. I would not be pastoring if I didn't love people. I love to minister to people. People can get themselves in the worst messes and make the worst decisions. I want to say to some of our church members sometimes, they come to me and they pour their heart out to me, and I never say this. I never say this, but I want to say it sometimes. What in the world were you thinking? Did your senses just take leave when you did this? When you purchased this home, you had a perfectly good home, but you wanted to step up, and some of them have bought these gargantuous homes in our area, not a lot of our members, but I want to tell you something. Going into deep debt that they will be in for the rest of their lives. I want to say, what were you thinking? But they come to me when it's all happened and they're in debt and about to go bankrupt. But that's why God has me there. To point them in the right direction. 400 men. Sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But in the next chapter, if you'll read it, you can do it when you get home. Look at verse 13 of chapter 23. Then David and his men, which were about how many? He began with 400 men. Now just a chapter over, we don't know how much time has expired, but now he has 600 men. Do you get the picture? God has called us to minister. I say two things to you tonight in closing, and I know this is for someone here tonight. God has you where he wants you. He has not forgotten you. He hears your cry, but he is preparing you for something in the future. Amen. You may not believe that right now, but he is preparing you for ministry. How are you going to comfort others if you've not walked through loss? How are you going to minister to others if you have not experienced anything? You know, since Michael passed away 7 years ago this June, there's a lot of folks in our community. I pastor the whole community there. They may be members of other Baptist churches, but I went to school in that community. Everybody knows me. And when people die, they call me to preach their funeral. And I believe it's because of the reason they know that I am acquainted with heartache and difficulty and death and grief. Are you ready to become a minister? How many volunteers do we have tonight? It begins in the cave. It begins in the cave. Church, I love you. I don't preach for very many immediate decisions. I preach for a lifestyle. That's the way I preach in our church. I know that Brother Jeff preaches that way. And we want to grow you in the Lord and share our experiences with you, that God would use them in your life and make the man and women of God that he wants you to be. I close with that verse in Psalms 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Out of them all. I want to share a praise with you tonight in closing. When our oldest son passed away, I hate to keep referencing that, but it's something that we have experienced. Our youngest son, Matthew, became very bitter. He was in the midst of that time of just a terrible marriage. He was going through just such difficulty. His wife had just treated him so terribly. I remember one evening, my son Matthew, who is a very strong individual, but just in the middle of the night, he had moved in with us for a few days just to regain his sanity. And I heard him weeping in the middle of the night. And I went into his room, Brother Jeff, and I just crawled up in the bed with my son, and I put my arms around him, and his body was just shaking. He was in such despair. And I didn't have anything to say to him. I just held him, and I prayed that the Lord would give him grace. Well, our son became more bitter as time went on, and we couldn't say anything to him because he would lash out at Nancy and I. He was mad at God for his broken marriage. He was mad at God for taking his best friend, his brother. He was mad over a lot of things. So Nancy and I were faithful to be kind to him. We didn't preach to him. We prayed for him. We interceded for him. Last year, about a year ago, we began to see a change in Matt. God had gotten a hold to his heart. And he had began to listen to the radio while he was working of preachers preaching. That was a miracle in itself. I mean, we could hardly get him to come to church. And he began to listen to the men of God like Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, other men of God on the local radio station there. And God began to change his life. And God began to mold him and make him. We noticed that he had a change of attitude. He had a change of heart. We noticed that he became more grateful. He was thankful for things instead of being so bitter. And he told me one Sunday morning, he said, "Dad, can I sing this Sunday?" I thought to myself, "What?" And Matt got up in church and sang a solo. We knew he could sing, but our whole church was weeping when he got through singing. I'm not bragging on him. The Lord was just so on him. And our church wanted him to sing every Sunday. The Lord has so tempered him and brought... I'm telling you, there were times when I thought he just hated Nancy and I. And about 6 or 8 months ago, the Lord brought a young lady into his life. And Nancy and I love her. We like her. We told her Matt could leave, but she needs to stay around. They're not married yet, but she has added to his life. She's a fine Christian girl. And we just thank the Lord for what he is doing in our son Matthew's life. And, you know, it has taken years. But we didn't give up. We didn't get so low in despair. that we didn't look to heaven and say, Lord, you will have to change him. I can't. God is good to us, isn't he? Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. Now listen to this. Grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amen.